Amen. I tell you what, it's a good morning. And I don't know if you brought your toolbox here this morning, but I brought my toolbox with me. Actually, I have many different toolboxes, but I brought one here this morning. When I was younger, I had actually got to inherit some of the different tools. This is just a small portion of different tools that I had. I got it to inherit either from my dad whenever he passed away, also from my stepdad, my grandfather's. And that there too. So there's a lot of different tools that you get. You know, sometimes we know what different tools are. Okay, thank you. It's always good to have somebody that knows what's going on there too. On the front, okay, thank you. I'll do that. Walk away, okay? Okay, you know, you can dress me up, but you can't take me out. But sometimes a lot of us can know different tools. You know, what's this here? Everyone knows what this is, right? It's a tape measure. Be able to measure different things. So we know different tools like that. Or, you know, actually a chalk box that's able to help make a straight line, you know, or a screwdriver. You know, sometimes like, you can be able to know what a screwdriver is. And a lot of times we can even use a screwdriver as a chisel if you don't have a chisel. And it does work, but it's not always its best purpose and best function, but it will work. You know, there you have different pliers, different wrenches. But also, too, a lot of times you get all these different things. I know even Fred was talking about this in Sunday school a few weeks ago about a plumb bob. This is what a plumb bob is. It helps you get a straight line. But sometimes we get tools that we don't know what they are. And I have brought some of these tools that, you know what, a lot of them, we have tools, we can see them, we recognize what they are, and we know how to use them. But a lot of times we get tools, we have no idea what they are or how they even operate or how they even function as well. So I brought some of those different ones that I got. And one of them here, I think it was my grandfather's. But I have no idea what this tool is, but I know it has a purpose and a function. You have a grip on here, there's some kind of thing, it must puncture something or do something with it. But you know what, sometimes we get a lot of different tools like that. We have things that have been made that have been valuable and important, but we don't know what they are. Here's another one, it's like a wrench kind of thing that can be able to turn things, but there's also like some of the nuts, sockets, parts on there too, you know, but does anyone know how to use it? I also got a few other different tools here brought here as well. This one here, this is not a Three Stooges one anyway, so you're poking like that there. But, you know, what are these tools? How do you use them? You know, and also, too, is that I do know what this one is. Does anyone know what this is? It also moves. There's also some stuff up inside here, but does anyone know what it is? I guess it's a bunch of, you guys are a bunch of Confederates, I guess. This is a Yankee drill, okay? This is what it is. It's, you put the tip in there and you can be able to push it down and so forth and be able to drill things like that. But also, there's also many different things we get. Like even this thing here, I have no idea what it is, but it was found in one of the toolbox. But what I want us to see is that a lot of times we get tools that we can inherit, we have, but we have no idea what those tools are or how they operate, how they function, or what they're used for. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says this. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, the emphasis on this passage is not go, you know, go into all the world. You know, do that. But the word go means as you go to the store, as you go to work, as you go to the mall, as you go throughout your course of life, what are you to make disciples? God wants you and me, as wherever you go and whatever you do, is to be able to make disciples that are like Jesus Christ. But you know what? The same way too is that I had and got an inheritance from some of my father and from my grandparents and that and some others. You know what? The same way too, God has given to each one of us different tools to be able to fulfill the purpose of the Great Commission. And sometimes we may look at that and say, well, and those tools there that he gives to us are to be able to help us fulfill the plan and the purpose that he has for us. Some of them you say, well, I know what that tool is and I know how to use it. And we become very good at that, very skilled at that, using that tool. But some other ones, it may be just like this tool right here. It has a purpose, it has a function, it has some areas of being able to do something, but it's like, let me put that back in the toolbox. because I have no idea what it is. I have no idea how to use it. But that's the same way, too, is there's the gifts that God gives to us to be able to help fulfill the Great Commission. He has given us each one a toolbox, and he wants us to be able to step out and use them and be able to have the skill to be able to do it. And many times we can be able to do that the same way as I mentioned, too. You can easily get one of the screwdrivers, get a hammer, and be able to use it as a chisel and be able to do something with it. But that wasn't its main purpose and function to be able to be used it for. It'll work, but not necessarily always the right way. And that's what we want to look at even today is there's many things that God has given to us and your toolbox and my toolbox that we can make a huge impact for the kingdom of God.
So this is going to be a little bit of a non-traditional sermon because we're going to do a lot of storytelling. But I believe that as we do this, that you're going to be inspired because one of the things since I first started coming to this church, I have just felt like that the church is pregnant with the gifts of the Spirit and that God's about to do something really unique in birth those. And so my prayer is that as we begin to just kind of stimulate your mind about some of these tools and inspire you with some stories, that you begin to feel that bubbling in your spirit, that it would begin to flow out of you, that it be birthed in your life. So one of the most powerful and effective tools that we have for fulfilling the Great Commission actually is our testimony. And people can argue theology, they can argue beliefs all day long with you, but they can't argue with your story. Your experience of how the power of God changed your life. You know, and I'm not talking, when I talk about testimony, I'm not talking about, I remember growing up in the church and you'd have these phenomenal speakers come in and they would spend 40 minutes telling you about their life of sin. I did this drug, I did this, I did that. And then they'd end with the 30-second blurb, and then God got a hold of my life and changed me. That actually is not really a testimony. You know, testimony is what the power of the blood of Jesus Christ did in you. It's not the 40 minutes of all the sin. It's actually that the change that God birthed in you. In Revelations 12:11, it says this, they overcame him, and who is him? The devil? They overcame the devil, how? By the blood of the Lamb, and what? The word of their testimony. Well, the word of your testimony is the word of God that's in your life. The word of God that's actually in your testimony. It's that power that God did. And so I want to challenge you to actually use this tool more often. Sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, once every 5 years in the church, I give my testimony, and that's really neat. But you know what? You should have a testimony every day because God's not done. He didn't just have a one-day conversion experience in your life and then stop. He's actually every day. You have a word of your testimony of what he is doing. You know, so what, and this is something that we see through the book of Acts and through the New Testament. I mean, even in the book of Acts, we have Paul using his conversion story twice, just in those few pages. And then we also see the disciples. What are a lot of those stories and those things that are in Acts? They're testimonies. They're testimonies of what God was doing in the disciples' lives, the things he was doing, how he was showing up, how his word was working in them, how they were ministering that out. God wants us to use that tool of testimony to do the Great Commission. And your testimony isn't just about how God saved you, but what he's doing right now in your life. What scripture is he working in you? How is he causing you to grow? What is changing in your life today? How's he healing you, your relationships, giving you joy, providing for you? Your testimony of what God is doing is powerful, and it overcomes the work of the enemy. We don't just have one testimony the day we got saved. We have a testimony daily. And sometimes it can be yucky things. I remember one time being at our Mother of Preschool group at our church, and I had a really bad week with my toddlers, Justin and Jeremy, who are sitting right there, who were a real handful when they were younger. And I remember the Lord was convicting me of anger. Like, as a mom, I was just finding I was doing a lot of yelling and a lot of... And I remember in that group, we were having a share time. And, you know, you won't think, well, how is that a testimony when you told you were struggling with anger? But it was, because I was telling about my struggle, being real and authentic. And then sang about how God was convicting me and how he was really giving me strength and showing me that I needed to do something different, that this wasn't the way I wanted my house to be. In that time, a girl who had just come to MOPS for the first time later told me, she says, I'm struggling with anger. I don't know what to do about this. And so we got to pray for her. She began coming to our church, and her whole family got saved. You know, and so you would think, well, that was weird. You told a testimony about how you were angry. But no, the testimony was, here I am, and in this day, this is how God's working in me and where he's taking me. Testimony is powerful. Another time, I had the kids at the YMCA for a swimming lesson. And, you know, your testimony can be anything that God's doing in you, even things that you're excited about. In our church, we had had a whole bunch of conversions take place, and we had some families whose children were not raised in the church, and they were now teens. And so in our youth group, we had some real struggles, and we did a survey on our youth, and like 90% of them said that they couldn't talk to their parents, that they had thoughts of suicide, that they were struggling with, like, real issues, and they all said they didn't feel loved. And like that, like, shook us when we were talking with our leadership team. We're like, something has to change. And so what we decided to do, we prayed, and we felt like God said, I want you to, for youth group for 3 months, bring the parents and the teens together. And we had a three-month session where we did all sorts of cool things. We did personality tests. We did love language test. We did communication. We had conflict resolution sessions where they had to fight with one another. At the end of that, we had testimonies of parents and teens that weren't even talking who totally got restored. Well, in the midst of this, I'm at the Y with my kids in swim lessons, and of course, they're all different ages, so they have to all be in different groups. So instead of just, you know, a half an hour, it's like an hour and a half you're there. And this lady was sitting beside me, and I had just had an amazing Wednesday with this parent-teen group, and I was on fire about this. And she's like, boy, you look chipper today. And it just bubbled out of me, the testimony of, you won't believe what's happening at our church. We have these parents and teens, and the kids said they couldn't talk to their parents, and now they're having these simulated fights at the church, and they're saying now they feel loved, and they did the temperament test, and now they understand why they were looking at things differently, and we're watching God change lives. And I'm just bubbling that testimony out, and she says, oh, you know what? I've never been married, but I just married a divorced man, and I inherited a blended family. And I have a 14-year-old son who hates me, that I've replaced his mother, and he hates me. And so every week at the Y, I would take the lesson that we did at church and had the parents do, and I would re-preach it to this lady at the YMCA, and she ended up writing us afterwards and said that her relationship with that son was completely turned around by the things that we did. And all that was a testimony about something cool that was happening at church that just inspired. So I want you to begin to think of, what is God doing in your life today? And some of it might be the angry parts or the unhappy parts. Let God use your testimony as a tool to open doors for you so that you actually do the Great Commission. You actually can lead people to the Lord just through the testimony of what God's doing in your life.
Another one of the tests, or one of the tools that we have in our toolbox that God has given to each one of us, is prayer. And sometimes we can look at prayer and think, "Wow, I'm good at that. Maybe not good at that." But you know what? As you look through the Book of Acts in the New Testament, you're going to see what believers praying for people. You know, there are people being touched, praying for the lost, the people getting saved, delivered, healed, restored, you know, the whole way through that. And you know what? And a lot of times we look at even the scripture and say, well, you know, that part, whether I can do praying or I can preach the word, you know, we can think of the filling of the Great Commission. I need to learn how to be able to preach the word of God. I have to have some 3-point sermon, have illustrations, everything else out there to be able to do that. But you know what? I love what the New Revised Standard Version says there in Romans. I believe it's Romans chapter 10. It says this. It says, how can they know him unless somebody proclaims him? It doesn't say you have to have a 3-point message to be able to preach to them, but you know what? You can proclaim Jesus Christ by what? Your testimony. You can proclaim Jesus Christ in what he has done by just serving people, just helping out. It's a simple thing to do. You can also be able to proclaim Jesus Christ by praying for people. And you know what? And just sometimes it may be simple as just going and proclaiming him and doing that by just praying for them. You're going to start seeing that God is doing a work in their lives because you prayed. The power of God was proclaimed throughout the New Testament when people prayed and God answered. You know, and sometimes, you know, we're, you know, wanting God to be able to do these big things here, happening here, you know, wanting to touch the lost, but he loves them and wants us to be able to give that opportunity for us to be able to pray for others and pray for those that are lost, encouraging us to be able to use that. Take that tool out of your toolbox and be able to find people that you can be able to be praying for. I'm not talking about praying for them in your prayer closet, too, in case you don't know. We're gonna share a little bit more of that, too. Because how many of you ever went to the grocery store? I don't care if it's Walmart or if it's, you know, Food Lion or Kroger's or wherever. You go there and you see somebody there and their back's hurting. So what? That's an opportunity. You can go up to them and be able to ask them, can I be able to pray for you? You know, it could be someone else that's, you know, you're going to one of your kids maybe in one of the different sports that are ball game or grandkids. You know, you see somebody that they're talking about maybe their marriage. They're having some marriage problems and that. Do you know what? That's another area. You can be able to go and to be able to pray for them. You know, you could be able to see somebody that's at work and they're stressed out about their finances. I mean, maybe that's a little bit, not only at work, maybe that's at your own house too, you know. But there's, you can always find somebody that's maybe stressed out even about their finances and be able to go and be able to pray for them. And the thing is, I want you to see is that you don't have to be loud and obnoxious and praying, you know, really loud and out. You can just be able to just quickly and quietly say, Lord, we just pray you bless them. Provide for them, heal them right now in Jesus' mighty name. It can just be as simple as that. And you just pray and let God do the rest. Let God do the rest of it there too. And you know what? There are some great things that we had, some stories that we had. I got a chance to go to one of a funeral a few years ago, and there was one of our members from our church. His name was Mike. Mike was actually coming off of drugs. He was going to some of the areas of rehab, and he was at the funeral there, and one of his family members had passed away, and we got a chance to go to him and to greet him and talk with him. And Mike was out of work. Mike didn't have a job. So I got a chance to say, Mike, do you mind if I get a chance to pray for you pertaining to work? And he was like, I'm not really sure if I really want this or not, but I said, I'll just quickly and quietly just pray for you right now. So I just prayed for him and just said, Lord, just we pray that you just provide a job for him, that you make an opening and a doorway for him for a job opportunity for him as well. I go on home, and just about an hour later, someone else calls me back up and says, I want to let you know, just a few minutes after you had prayed for Mike, somebody came up to him and said, do you need a job? And he had a job opportunity to be able to, the following Monday, be able to go there and be able to get a job opportunity for work as well. And he saved and rededicated his life right after that as well, too. Also, too, we have another situation. I remember my youngest son, Joshua, and I, we were going to this one optometrist. And the place where it was at, I always like to say, is that I'm not sure if it was we liked it there because they had the hot chocolate and cookies there, too. But that was a nice thing as well. But inside, after... this was doctor's office, also had many other different doctor's offices within it. It was about like, you know, 30 to 50 some other different doctors in there and medical things going on. And we got our eyes examined, we're leaving, and we're getting ready to walk out the building. Just, you know, let's hurry up and get to the next job. Let's go and get the next situation and get going. You know, we have a busy schedule and so forth. And as we're walking out the doors, out into the foyer area, there's this woman out there, and she's has this sitting on this chair, and she's reading this paper, and she's starting to cry and so forth. Just reading and just going back over, just starting to cry and to weep. And then we're being really good spiritual people. And so we decided, let's just get going. Let's go on. Let's go on back to that, get back in the vehicle and so forth. And I turned around back to Josh. Josh was only about like 5 years old at the time. I said, Joshua, let's go back and let's go pray for this woman here too. Let's go pray for her and just ask God to be able to touch her, to heal her, or whatever. He says, yeah, let's go back in there. So we go back in there and talk to her just a few minutes, and she said she got a bad report from the doctor. And I said, do you mind if we just be able to quickly and quietly be able to pray for you? And she said, yes. So we went and prayed for her, and we just prayed for all things of cancer to die and to be removed from her body, that she'd be able to be totally healed and restored. And probably about a month later, I gave her a card just saying, "Here's, I'm the pastor at the church here, about 30-some miles away, but here's some information about what was going on." She knew of a friend of ours, a relative of ours, and gave the information back to me and said, "You know what? The woman that you prayed for that was there that had cancer, had documented proof that she had cancer, came and back, went to the doctor again, and was healed." I want you to know is that those are times that these are part of your toolbox that God gives you to be able to go and to pray and to minister to people. This is a tool that you can pull out and do this. And you can think, well, that's great. But you know what? You have to be somebody spiritual to do that. You know what? We have a guy that was in our church. His name was Tim. Tim was a rough working highway construction guy. And Tim was also a smoker, you know, and trying to overcome the areas of smoking and the problem he had used for many years. And him and his crew that was coming back from work because it was a rainy day, and they're just you know, kind of bummed out. They were supposed to work, but they're not able to, so they're coming back. And as they're driving back in the two different vehicles, they happen to notice and stop. They see on the road there's a guardrail that's thrown out onto the middle of the highway. So they kind of stop and they're like, something must be happening here. So they get out of their vehicles, they look over the bank, and over the bank, there's a stream going by there too. And there's this car that is flipped over upside down, and there's this guy frantically trying to open up the back rear car door. He's trying to frantically open it up. The car is submerged underwater. His daughter, which was, I don't remember, was about 2 years old or 5 years old, was in the car, submerged under the water. And they're trying to get her out. The crew ends up coming along, helps get her out, and the dad starts going ballistic. Oh my God, she's dead. She's not going to live. I knew this. Not going to happen. I'm sorry. Oh my God, she's dead. She's dead. You know. And Tim, the nice guy, is God is working areas of redemption, and working the areas of sanctification in his life. Still having struggles with smoking and that. Tells the guy, shut up in the name of Jesus. Are you a believer? Then pray. Let's pray that she's going to live and not die and declare the works of God. And he starts praying, and also some of the other guys are doing some CPR on the child. The child, and they start praying over her, and she does start coming back to life. They were taken to the children's hospital. She was in a coma for about 2 to 3 days. She came right out of the coma, had no brain damage, no problems at all. God used a rough construction worker that had a problem with smoking to raise the dead. And he can use you as well by just simply just going and saying, you know what, I am there going to use, I'm going to take one of these tools out of my toolbox of prayer and be able to use it and apply it to different situations. Amen. Look for opportunities. There's different people everywhere you go. You're going to find somebody that needs prayer for healing, you know, or prayer for whatever need that they're going through. God wants to be able to use those things, be able to show himself real in a powerful way. He wants to work through each one of you, not only the certain select individuals, but each one of you. You know what? The worst thing that can happen to you when you ask somebody, can I pray for them, saying no. And you know what? You don't have to worry about it then. But the thing is, you know what we need to do is we need to say, I'm going to step out. I'm going to step out and be able to see God move. I'm going to step out and be able to pray for people. You know what? Maybe some of you may say, well, I'm just too shy. I cannot go and pray for somebody. I'm just afraid of what, you know, of what they may say. I don't really know how to pray. But you know what? The simple thing you can do is just go and say, do you know what? Fred, I really don't know how to pray. But do you mind if I could be able to practice and learn how to pray for you? Can I be able? Do you mind if I do that? There, I'm a little bit shy. I don't really know how to pray. Could I do that? You can say yes. So then you maybe step out, and you maybe not know what to do. And Fred's going to easily be able to receive it. So, you know, so if you need to find someone, look for Fred. So Lord, we just pray that you'd bring total healing and restoration over him. We thank you for what you began him, and you're going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, it could be. You know what? Prayer doesn't have to be some big, long theological thing. You know, the simplest prayer in the Scripture was prayed by Peter, and I think it's in Swahili language. It was simple as just two words, Lord, save. Lord, save me, and a lot of English and other words. But you get to be as simple as that, and God, let God do the rest of the work as well. And just look at that. You know, if you're not feeling comfortable with that, find somebody to say, Can I be able to learn how to pray? Can you be able to help me, teach me, or show me, or just let me step out and do that? And that is, I want to just recommend, you know, just, you know, sometimes you may end up being like Tim, that didn't have maybe all of the things knowing how to pray, but, you know, might maybe yelling at them and telling them to shut up in the name of Jesus. You know what? That may not, I don't really recommend maybe that's the best manners to do that in, but, you know, it worked, you know. And also, too, is that, you know, there's maybe a better way of being able to communicate it with a little bit more kindness and care, but, you know, or using manners. But I encourage you, you know what, get one of those tools out of your toolbox and apply it even sometime this week.
Some very special tools that we have been given in our spiritual toolbox are actually the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're a Pentecostal church, so we embrace the gifts of the Spirit. You know, that means we believe that all nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are for today. They didn't pass away. And these are actually word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. You know, and it's funny, you know, so I have heard many people, particularly those who don't believe that the gifts are for today, will actually say, well, it's not really good to pursue the gifts. It's better to pursue the fruit of the Spirit. You need the fruit of the Spirit. I actually disagree with that. Because for one, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that we're to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and especially that we might prophesy. And in the Greek, that word desire actually means to lust after or to covet. That is strong. That's a strong word. So this wasn't something that God just thought, oh, that'd be nice if you maybe have it, but the fruit's better. Go for the fruit, and if you get the gifts, that's okay. No, he's telling us to lust after the gifts of the Spirit. But then I also have another thing, because what if you were laying on your deathbed and you were dying? Which would you rather have come visit you? Somebody who has the fruit of the Spirit and they have joy and self-control? Or do you want the person who has a gift of the Spirit and they are going to pray in faith and believe for healing? Which one do you want? You know? And keep in mind this. If someone truly has the fruit of the Spirit, they will actually pursue the gifts of the Spirit. Because if I actually love and I have the fruit of the Spirit of love in my life, I am going to want any gift that's going to be able to minister effectively to the people around me. You know, because you have to have the fruit of the Spirit to really be bold enough to use the gifts of the Spirit. So you really can't have the gifts of the Spirit without loving the people that are around you. So you need both. Jesus wants us to be full of the fruit of the Spirit, and he wants us to have the power gifts or the power tools that to actually more effectively fulfill the Great Commission. And we're blessed to be a part of a church and a denomination that believes that all of those are for today. The Assemblies of God, we are full gospel. That means we think it's all fun and we love it all. And we need them all because that's what's effective. And that was the example that we had in Scripture. When you look through the book of Acts, the gifts of the Spirit were critical to their effective discipleship.
Now, one of the things, too, is that Eileen grew up in an Assembly of God church. So she has a few more years than me in the Assembly of God church. But I grew up Lutheran. Until I was about the age of 15 is whenever I started attending an Assembly of God church. And, you know, we started learning, being raised, both of us, you know, being learning about the gifts of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. And also, we also pastored even an Assembly of God church, you know, and even in Pennsylvania, and we're regular at our altered ministry times. You know, we'd be full of the different gifts of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we'd have, even at times we'd have even healings being happening too. And we'd have even documented cases, which we like to do that because instead of saying, oh, I had this ache, and you know, I can't really prove it that I had an ache, but, you know, I had it after a while. We had some different people that had tumors proven from the doctor, and they also went back after prayer showing that they got healed, that the tumors were no longer there. We've had words of wisdom, words of knowledge happening, prophecy, deliverances, you know, and also too is we thought, you know, one thing when you start seeing a lot of the gifts of the Spirit, you think, well, we know it, we're pretty good at this, we're well with this, until things happen and God has then started speaking to us, started humbling us by saying, you know what, you're not really knowing all about the gifts or even what all the purpose was going on for them as well. He started convicting us and saying, there's a deeper level, a deeper way being able to use these tools that he has for us. And as we started doing that, we started praying and just asking God, you know, what's going on? And he started showing us, we're like an onion. If you ever, how many have ever seen an onion before? I'm pretty sure most of us have, right? And if you ever see an onion start peeling off, they've got one layer on here, and then there's another layer underneath there, there's another layer, and another layer, and another layer. But God started showing that there's different layers there, too, even with the gifts of the Spirit he's wanting to do. And he was saying to us, it's the same way, too, is you can get that screwdriver and be able to be using it. And if you've been using that screwdriver like a chisel, which works, but there's a greater function and purpose he has for us in using the gifts of the Spirit he was telling us. So as our surprise, as he was humbling us, we started going back through the book of Acts and through the New Testament to seeing what was the ways that the gifts of the Spirit being used at that time. And I have a question for you. As you look through the book of Acts and in the New Testament, where were the gifts of the Spirit being used? Were they in the church? Where were they mostly being used? Was it in the church? What? This is a time that you can react. Hey, now, I want you to be able to say something. Where were they at? In the street? Somebody say in the street. Somebody say it was in the church. It was in the streets. It was in the marketplace. It was as they were going, wherever they were doing, they were going out and seeing this is where they were to minister at. They were taking the gifts outside. And so we started learning what we were missing at, and we were seeing that we needed to be taking the gifts of the Spirit that we've been learning in churches. That's where you learn it. That's where, you know, here is the safe place to be able to learn how to use the gifts of the Spirit, how to be able to flow in the gifts and what God has for us. Because this is where God wants to be able to train you and show you how to use those gifts. And then so you can be able to take them out where everyone else is at as well. It makes a huge impact on the world as well when we start taking it. And we start learning how to, in the church, we're learning how to do discernment or discernment of spirits or prophecy or words of wisdom, words of knowledge, get the other gifts of spirit, faith, healing, and miracles. And you start seeing how they're being demonstrated here. You're able to take them to the lost, take them out there to others. And also, too, there's also some ways, too, that you don't always have to be doing the it's like a machine gun, you know, praying in the spirit, you know, and doing everything else, or thus saith God, you can be able to take the gifts of the Spirit and translate them into their everyday language and be able to use them to effectively change their lives. Amen.
So in the middle of this season, and again, for a girl who grew up in the Assemblies of God and who was using the gifts regularly at the altar, I was really challenged by this because I'm not a very extroverted person when it comes to talking to people I don't know or like going up to people out in places, and particularly trying to figure out how do I use the gifts of the Spirit and what we're doing at the altar out there was a little bit of a challenge for me. But as we begin to really be convicted that God was saying, this is what the tools were for. You're using them the wrong way. You're using them part way. This is the training ground, but there's where you're supposed to be using them. And so I began to just really pray, God, change me and help me. Help the gifts that you have stirred in me, help me to release them out there. And so I was praying this and praying this and praying this, and God was changing our hearts, and something awful happened. God actually answered my prayer. And I was at the school registering one of my children for kindergarten. And this little boy, begins to throw himself into this tantrum, and he's screaming and rolling around on the floor. And the dad is sitting beside me and telling me this is the second or third year that we've brought him and tried to register for kindergarten, and this is how he is, and we don't know what to do. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, the gift of discernment bubbles up in me, and God shows me, that's a demon doing that, and you can cast that out right now. And I'm sitting there thinking, now, we did a lot of deliverance in Africa, and we did a lot of deliverance in our church, and deliverance is messy. Like, it's messy, and it's not like you can't, it's not a let's quickly and quietly pray. Like, and so I'm sitting there, and you know how you are when you're going to get a word or God's telling you to do something, and you're on, like on fire, and you're like, oh, and I'm sitting there in my mind trying to think, how do I do a deliverance in the school with my peers? and the principal's right there, and we're leaders in the community, and how do I do this and save my pride? And I'm thinking, well, God, why couldn't it have been a kid in a wheelchair that I just had to quickly and privately pray for or something else? I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do deliverance. And I'll have to tell you, guys, I didn't do it. I disobeyed. I told God, no, I'm not doing this. I couldn't find a way that would feel comfortable to cast a demon out of a boy at kindergarten registration. And I left home, and I began to weep. Because I was like, God, I've been praying that you'd stir these gifts in me and that I would use them in the marketplace. And the first opportunity you give me, I tell you no because of fear. And I tell you no because I was more concerned about me and how idiotic I would look than I was concerned about that poor boy and that family. See, this is an example of, did I have the fruit of the Spirit? No, because if the fruit of the Spirit had really been in me, the love of God would have given me the self-control to just obey him and do what he said and use the gift to set someone free who needed it. So this it was awful. And I spent 2 weeks where I was just repenting and crying out and saying, God, give me another chance. Give me another opportunity. I missed that one because I know that in Scripture, if I have something and God's telling me to do it and I'm not using it, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose it. He's going to take even what I had away from me. And so I'm crying and I'm repenting. And about 2 weeks later, it was a long 2 weeks because I didn't get an instant chance. So I was in the car, another inconvenient time. I'm taking the boys to go to the library with my sister in a town a half an hour away. And on the way there, we have worship music going, and I all of a sudden hear God say, you want a second chance? You can have one today. And I was like, yes, I want a second chance. So here's what he told me. He said, I want you to not go to the library, and I want you to go where I tell you. I'll just tell you the way to go. And I'm going to take you to a house where I want you to go knock on the door, and you're going to pray for them. And that was almost as bad as doing the deliverance in the school. Because one, if any of you know me, I hate going to places where I haven't been before. In fact, if we're driving somewhere and I don't know where I'm going, I always have Curtis take me a day or two beforehand to show me where it is so that I can feel comfortable getting there myself. And then the idea of just going up to some stranger's house, I'm thinking, now how's this going to work? Like, what am I going to say without them thinking I'm crazy? Oh, hi, God sent me to come here and knock on the door and pray for you. I'm thinking, how's this going to, like, work in any way that's going to not humiliate me? But I'm remembering what happened at the school, and I'm thinking, okay, I can't do that again. I can't disobey again. So I'm like, okay, God, I'll do it. So then I'm like, how do I find this house? Like, how do I know where to go? I'm like, is there going to be a big stop here sign over it where I'm going to actually see it? And I wasn't really sure what was going on. So I call Curtis, and I'm like, pray for me. I got to go somewhere. He's like, where? I don't know where. He's going to show me where to stop. And Curtis like, just call me. I don't know what you're doing. So each intersection, I would pray which way to go, and I'd feel like he'd tell me. I end up an hour away from my house in a town I had never been at on a road, and I felt like he said, this is the road. But I'm driving up and down the road, and I can't find any house that says stop here. And so I'm like, God, I want to obey you this time. I don't understand. Why am I not seeing which house it is? I'm telling you, I'll go pray. At this time, I just wanted to find the house so I could get the thing over with. The boys are in the back, and they think it's a hoot. And they're like, it's this house, Mom. Oh, Mom, it's this one. So finally, I'm getting nothing at all. And Justin says, look at that pretty blue house with the flowers. It's that one. And by that time, I'm thinking, I'm not hearing anything. It's the pretty blue house with the flowers. I pull in, and the lady is coming out. And so again, I'm sitting there trying to think, now how do I say this without looking like a lunatic? So I explain, I'm a pastor's wife from about an hour away from here. I felt like God said to come here to this house and to pray for you. She immediately starts crying, and she says, I need you to pray for the heaviness that's over my house. My husband, 11 months ago, had an injury at work and broke his back, and he's suicidal. The depression at our house is awful. And so we prayed for her that heaviness would stop, that God would just bless them, that the depression would go. It was a beautiful moment. So I'm all psyched, and I get back in the car, and I'm like, whoa, I did it, yeah! I'm feeling really good. And then Jeremy goes, but you didn't go to my house. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, let's just go ahead to the house he thought, too. That went really well, so let's just try another one. We went to this house, and it was an older woman, and her husband had just been diagnosed with cancer and was starting chemo the very next day, and we come offering to pray, and that God said to come here and pray. And she was so touched by that. And that, we actually know the end story, because she had asked what church we were at, and we're an hour away, but she came to the county fair in our town 6 months later, and our church people were at the booth. I wasn't actually there, but she gave them a message and said, I want you to tell your pastor's wife that she came and prayed for us that day, and my husband is now cancer-free. And all of that, and it was very interesting, as I drove home that day, the Lord really convicted me. He said, Eileen, you know what? You could have stopped at any house. Any house would have been the right house. There isn't a house that does not need a touch of God. There isn't a house that you could stop at that doesn't need God to bless and God to touch. So guys, you know, you are unlimited in your ability to make disciples of the nations. It could be any house will be the right house. Any place would be the right place. All we need is enough fruit of the Spirit to put aside our fear and our worry about what's this going to look like. How am I going to look doing this? You know, so God wants to do amazing things in us.
Also, too, is Eileen shared this testimony at church, and as we were there, she was sharing the testimony about, you know, the stop here. And one of the things we decided as our church, we're going to go and we're going to do some outreaches. We're going to go to the community and start praying for people. We're going to go door to door and ask somebody and say, do you need prayer? And as we went, we got our groups together, and there was this one lady that was just newly saved, rededicated her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. She ended up, she used to come to church sometimes with a little bit of a hangover from a drinking spree, you know, from the Saturday night. She would also be there just all, you know, didn't really, never got a chance to even pray for somebody out loud, kind of a little bit shy and kind of, wasn't sure if she could do that. She was on my team. So there's like three of us. I think it was me, her, and also I think one of my kids was also on that team as well. So we went to the door. I said, hey, do you know what? You don't have to worry about that, Lisa. What, how to pray or anything like that. Just do what I'm doing. So just go over there. We go out to the first house. I knock on the door and say, hey, I'm Pastor Curtis, and here's, we wanted to see, is there anybody here at the house who would like prayer for anything? And someone would say, yeah, they like prayer. And then I go, get a chance to go and pray for somebody, and okay. And then we go to the next house, and they say, Lisa, it's your turn now. She's not really sure if she can be able to do this, but I said, you know what? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to have all your theology together or all your, know how to say all the right words the right way. If you mess up, you know what? I'll be here to be able to help you, to be able to pray for it. So we pray with you as well. So she goes and she does that. She prays for somebody, getting pumped. She goes and sees somebody. Somebody's getting touched. Their life's being touched. And then she gets into someone else and prayed, and then I did. And then she went back again. We did this for about an hour's time. And she prayed for several different people, and she was getting really pumped. And just right after we were done, it's time we dismissed everybody, went back, she's going back home, and God just started working on her, saying, hey, I want you to go to this person's house and go there and ask if they like prayer. She goes to the house, knocks on the door. It's one of somebody that she knew that had heart problems. And she said, do you mind if I be able to quickly and quietly be able to pray for you? You know, for your heart and that there. She goes and prays for them. They get healed of their heart problems. This wasn't the pastor got a chance. This is the person yet that was just newly saved, just used to come to church drunk, and also come, you know, didn't have their life all together. They didn't have everything perfectly. They were there at that place giving their lives back over to Jesus and going and giving a chance to say, God, work in this situation and pray for somebody. And the person got healed. Those are things we want to be able to start seeing, that God wants us to be able to step out and to be able to move and touch people's lives. God is wanting us to be able to use those gifts of the Spirit. You know, each one of those ones, use that gift of the Spirit. Use the gift of faith. You know, God, first off, the Bible says God's given to each one of us a measure of faith. There's a small measure, but there's also a gift of faith which has a spirit of authority on that you're able to almost, that you know it's going to happen. You know that something's going to work. But also gifts of healings, you know, and working of miracles. You know, the gifts of healings is not just as a penicillin prayer. It is, there's different things. You look at Jesus' ministry, just real quickly, is that you see him ministering healing. Sometimes he spit on people, but he didn't do that every time. Sometimes he went and laid hands on people. Sometimes he spoke the word only, and the person was 30-some miles away and a situation changed. There's different ways that they did. Sometimes they anoint them with oil, you know, whatever. You need to see their gifts of healings. That's why it's plural, both ones. It's not just one thing that's going on. There's different things that you use and needed in the toolbox for even healing that's able to touch in people's lives. The same way as even with miracles. Be able to go to that place of, with boldness and expect God to do something. You say, I got the tool. I'm not exactly sure how to use it completely, but I'm going to step out and use this and learn how to use it, and use it with a skill in Jesus' name. Amen?
And we believe that we have all the tools. We have all the tools. You know, some people actually teach God will give you a gift of the Spirit, and that's the one you will use. Do you know what? It isn't actually dependent on you. Who's it actually dependent on? The one you're ministering to. The gift they need is the one you need to be moving in. So it is true that you are more open to certain gifts and you tend to develop certain gifts that you use more. Like, for example, we were newly married and a prophet came to our church and prophesied that I was going to begin to use the gift of discernment. And I had told Kurt, I'm like, I want all the gifts except the gift of discernment. Like, that sounded scary to me. And I didn't actually want that. Well, wouldn't you know it? That's the one I got first. And I tend to move in the vocal gifts, prophecy, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits. Curtis is my faith man in the healing. It's awesome when we work together at an altar because I get the vision of, okay, here's the word of knowledge, here's what they need. And then I'm like, oh, my God, what do we do with that? And then he has the faith, oh, I know what we do with that. And then he goes and prays. And so it really fits good. But guess what? Sometimes I've been on a mission trip where he wasn't with me. And I had to have the faith to do it. If I had love for that person I'm praying for and wanted the gifts to flow that they actually needed. So we can have all of the gifts. Don't limit yourself. When we got the Holy Spirit, we got the whole package. It's all in our toolbox. All of it. And we have to desire to use them and be willing to use them and learn to use them and exercise our ability to use them. But we can move in all of the gifts as needed. And this is why teams are so important and in a church body. Because I don't have everything someone walking in that door needs. But you know what? We do have everything when you look at the ministry God's given us as a church. So the gifts are important. And a lot of people make the gifts, like I had heard the gifts taught early on, and I always thought they sounded so mystical and so hard to reach. But do you know what? They're not. They are as simple as hearing God's voice. And we know all of us hear God's voice because we're told that in John 10. All of my sheep know my voice. All my sheep. Not the more spiritual ones, not the ones who've, you know, everyone can hear God's voice. That's all the gifts are. Curtis is just talking about gifts of faith and gifts of healings. What is it? I'm hearing the faith for this situation to pray in boldness and authority. I hear it. I move in it. That's all the vocal gifts are, prophecy, word of knowledge. I had somebody recently just ask me, well, how did you know that when you prayed? I didn't know that. I didn't know that. All of a sudden, I heard it and I prayed it. All it is you hear God's voice and you speak it out. So the gifts are simple. It's just learning to hear. The hardest part is being bold enough when you hear it to actually do it, at least for me. Now, some of you who are real type A's, you maybe have no problem with that. I have trouble with it. So anyway, the Lord wants us to touch people with the gifts. He is desperate to touch a dying world, and he's given us tools to do that. And, you know, the world is looking for these gifts, too. Why do you think psychics and all of these new agey things get so much business? Because people are longing for the real gifts of the Spirit, which I want direction from the Lord. And there isn't a church that's showing them how to get direction from the Lord. So where do they go? They're getting their direction from the enemy. So we have another neat story. And this maybe is controversial. I have begun asking God to give me the nation of homosexuality. I know that sounds really bizarre. When he says, ask of me in prayer, and I will give the nations to you. And, you know, we used to live in Africa. We used to be in the 1040 window. I used to ask for the 1040 window. But lately, I've really been asking God for the homosexual nation because I feel that they're very closed off to anything that the church has to say. And I'm not sure what I'll do when I get them. Like how I'll minister to them, I'll probably screw it up quite a bit as I'm learning it. But I've begun to really ask because I feel like the enemy has stolen so much from them, including their identity, so many things. So I have, if you're ever on my Facebook, please don't ever say anything ignorant about homosexuality because I now have about 35 people that I am in process of ministering to who trust me and who I'm loving on and who I'm sharing with. Well, so one boy that I graduated from high school with, and I don't even remember talking to him in high school. He's come out as gay now, and he is on Facebook, and I don't even like reading his posts because a lot of times they're just drunken orgies and awful things. But one day he had a post on there that just jumped in my spirit. He was saying, I've been having a recurring nightmare regarding the death of my mom, and he was in grief, and I want somebody to interpret it. And so who has some good recommendations for a psychic? And I told Curtis, I'm like, I don't even know this kid, except he went to high school with me. I think I might have talked to him one time, and I graduated in the 80s. That was a long time ago, guys. And so I told Curtis, I'm like, something's rising up in my spirit that this is wrong. This is wrong that he has to go to the psychics. I'm going to private message him and tell him that our church will interpret his dream. But then I had that thing, but I don't even have dreams, like, and I don't know how to interpret dreams. So there was a little bit of a dilemma, but I felt this rising in me that God's saying, the church has the answer for him. The church is the answer. The psychics are not the answer. So I wrote him, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this, and I'm like, well, I saw that you were doing this, and psychics can really open up gateways into some really bad stuff. I really wouldn't want you to go that route. My church, if you send us your dream, we will pray and we will ask God to give us the interpretation, and you don't have to pay us anything. And he's like, oh, well, I never knew anyone would do that. I'm like, so send it, give it to us, and we'll pray about it for a few days. And we brought it to our church, and 12 people in the church were willing to pray about it and write what turned out to be a dozen absolutely beautiful prophetic words over his life that were amazing. I send it to him by email. He responds back. He said, I have been crying for days and can't believe the accuracy of the words that you gave me and the encouragement of where it hit me. He's on my Facebook now all the time, liking anytime I put a scripture verse on, and he's now going to church. I think it's a Presbyterian church, but hey, we're talking steps, guy. We're talking steps. But I just want to remind you, the world gives them the counterfeit. We're to show them the real. We have the real. And we have to have fruit of the Spirit to have the desire to get the words to give people for them to actually have that met in their lives. Where are we? All right. So after our church began to really move out into the marketplace, a girl came up to me and said, I want you to teach me how to prophesy in public at the mall. And now I had heard of groups that did that at Bethel, and they have these treasure hunts, but I had never been on one. No one ever taught me how to do that. And I would move prophetically at an altar, but I didn't ever go to the mall and prophesy. But I'm the pastor's wife, so I'm the one that has to teach her how to do this. So we made the time to go to the mall, and I'm praying, okay, God, how do you do this? I don't know how you go teach someone how to prophesy at the mall. I'd never done it. I don't know how to do it. So we get there, and I said, let's pray in the car first, and then we'll go in the mall. She's like, now how do you do this? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I wish someone would tell me. But I'm thinking, let's go to the food court. See, there'll be lots of people sitting there, and we can kind of stand in a off place and just kind of pray. And when God gives us something, then we'll go pounce on it. And so we're standing there for about a half an hour at the food court. And she had told me, she goes, well, you do it first, and then I'll do it. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do it first, and then you'll do it. So we're standing there, and a half an hour, I'm getting nothing looking at the food court. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm supposed to be teaching her something. And she's like, did you get anything? Well, finally, there's one lady sitting in the food court. She's by herself, and she looks happy. She's chatting to people around her. She has a bunch of gifts that she had just purchased. And all I hear is, tell her she's not alone and that I'm with her. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of lame. That doesn't even really sound like a prophetic word. Like, anybody could say, God's with you. I'm thinking, I'm supposed to be, like, coming up with something really profound to teach this girl how to do this. And but I'm not getting anything else. So I eventually say, okay, I'm not getting much, but let's just go over to this lady. So she's sitting there. I go over to her, and I say, I no sooner get it out of my mouth that you're not alone and God says he's with you, that she starts crying. She goes, oh, my God. That's what I was just saying in my head. I'm alone. I'm alone. I'm alone. My mom died 3 months ago, and I always came to this mall with my mother. And I'm sitting here saying, I'm not alone. Or, I'm alone. I'm alone. I'm alone. And you walk right up and say, you're not alone. God's with you. So that little thing that didn't even seem profound to that woman was amazing. We got to minister to her. Then the girl I was with, she's like, my turn. And she takes off, goes running through the mall. She grabs some lady. I don't even remember what she prophesied, but she led her in the sinner's prayer right there in the middle of the mall in public. And I'm just standing there like, did I actually even have to teach her anything? Not really. But again, it was just obedience to hear God's voice and to speak it out. That's all God's asking for us to do, guys. Can you add some margin in your schedule when you're in Walmart to take the time to look around and see, is there anybody here who just needs an encouraging word, who just needs someone to pray for them? And you know what? God has a sense of humor, as you're learning. We had another time, we were on our way to Walmart, I think, and there were these three guys standing on the side of the road, and they were looking for something. Immediately, I got a word of knowledge, and I told Curtis, I'm like, pull over, you have to go talk to them. He had a fight with his girlfriend, and she threw the ring out the door, and that's what they're looking for. And so he goes out, and he was kind of grumpy.
I didn't want to do this. I figured, let's just go to Walmart, please. I don't want to go out and be able to go and just say, be the secondary Aaron that goes and is supposed to speak what Moses was supposed to speak anyways, you know. So she goes.
But I had good reason. I'm like, well, it's three men. I can't get out of the car and minister to three men. You have to do it.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, but it's your word. You got it. It was your gift. You do it. I'm like, you have to do it. It's men. So he gets out kind of grumpy, and he's gone a half an hour while me and the kids are sitting in the car. He comes back in, and he's laughing because my husband loves puns. He absolutely loves puns. And he said, well, your word was accurate, but God has a sense of humor. He did get in a fight with his girlfriend. She did throw the ring out the window.
But it was a cell phone.
It was the ring.
The ring, cell phone ring.
But he got to pray for this guy, invite them to church, and have this time of ministry, all from just us going down the road and a word of knowledge pop. So, again, begin to ask God, give me the gifts of the Spirit, God. Help me to move in them.
God has given each one of us a toolbox. I want you to recognize you have a toolbox God has given to you. You have it as an inheritance from God, that from different tools and different gifts that he's given to each one of you so be able to use. And today, you know, when you go on home, I want you to be able to get out your toolbox. Start looking at some of those tools and saying, oh yeah, I know what that tool is. I know how to use that. Or it's like some of those other ones we said, like, yeah, okay. That gift of the Spirit, I'm not exactly sure how you use that one or what it is. But as you start looking at those gifts and you're looking at those tools that God has given to you, just start looking at God, give me opportunities to step out and use them. Like I said, you may be using it as the screwdriver as a chisel, but it may do the work, but it may not be the right way or the best way of doing it. But saying, God, show me. And get around people that learn how to use some of the gifts. Start learning how to use those gifts and start doing that. But you know what? As I've done a lot of different things in construction over about 16 to 17 years of my life, sometimes you get amazed at somebody that can be able to use some different tools and just how they are almost as a craftsman at using that skills of those tools as well. Same way as a doctor, they have certain tools that I couldn't be able to use them that way. I'd really slice you guys open really bad. You know, and burn you with a laser some way, the wrong way too. But what I'm going to say is that there's the gifts and tools that he's placed in your toolbox to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. Start asking him, saying, God, give me some opportunities to use them. If you're afraid, find somebody. Say, hey, can I be able to pray for you? Look at those different tools, whether it's prayer or your testimony or the nine gifts of Spirit. And just as Eileen said, you know, all of those nine gifts of Spirit, it's not just as Fred gets one or two of them, someone else gets another one, and someone else gets a different one here. You know, each one of those are available, and sometimes you need the certain gifts. There's going to be some gifts you're going to be excellent and know how to use that tool and be able to have great skill at it. But start seeing, there's some other ones, seeing where are some opportunities that I can be able to use to practice using these gifts and be allow God to be able to bring the changes, in not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you, those that are lost, that don't know Jesus, that are on the fence, that need to turn, or getting a few steps closer to God, whatever. See, these gifts are for each one of us to fulfill the Great Commission. Start practicing using them.
So we want to close with a testimony. And this is actually a woman, a friend of mine who is not in a Pentecostal church, sent me this testimony from a friend of hers. And it's a perfect example of someone who stepped out. She doesn't even know what to call it. We would actually call it like word of knowledge, or that she was actually moving in a gift of the Spirit. But we want to watch that, and then we want to pray for you. So if, and worship team, you can kind of get ready to come up for after the video.
God wants me to share something with you. I'm going to do my best to get through this without crying. So Transparent Tuesday, this is a theme that I'm going with. And I was just at the gas station right in town, and I was gassing up. Just came from the gym, minding my own business, doing my own thing. And as I turn around to put the pump in my car, I see this girl walking to her car. And she was younger, and I turn around, you know, to go get my, put my card back in my wallet or something, and God just kind of, you know, whispers to my spirit, you know how it works, talk to this girl, invite her to church. And I'm like, what? I don't have a joy card. I'm thinking, you know, in my head, I don't have a joy card. What do you mean invite her to church? So I'm digging through my purse, looking for a joy card, something to give her, and you know, he's like, just talk to her, just invite her to church. And I'm looking, and I found one of my Mary Kay cards, and I'm digging around, still looking for it. He's like, hurry up, she's gonna leave. I'm like, okay, I got it. You know, and so I go and I'm like waving her, you know, down, and she rolls her window down, and I say, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to invite you to my church. And I'm like, I'm sorry if I'm freaking you out. And I just explain it to her, and I just talk to her, and I just say, I just feel like God wanted me to invite you in church. And I started going to this church when I was just jacked up, truly a hot mess. 8 years ago or whatever, and I was like, it's like Comedy Central with a great message, and I don't know if this means anything to you, but it changed my life, and I just felt like I was supposed to talk to you. And so she starts tearing up, and I say, you know, just call me anytime if you need me. I have coffee with women. I just love on them. And I told her about my ministry, and I told her how I was, you know, in an affair for a couple of years in my first marriage, and how I just made stupid choices and was a single mom for 7 years because of it, and I'm just pouring all this stuff out. And all of a sudden she breaks down, and she was just like, I'm going through the exact same thing right now. And I'm like, you can choose different, you can make better choices, you can change right now, don't wait so long to change, you know, like I did. And I'm just talking to her, and I got in my car and I was super humbled. You know, first, that God used me in that way, and I hope she does call me or go to Joy Church. But then I thought, God, why didn't somebody come to me at a gas station and tell me that, you know? Because it could have changed my life, you know? And I guess what I'm saying is, what's something in your walk that you wish someone would have
That's okay, we can stop there. There's not much left. You can just stop it. I thought that was really a good example of somebody who moved out in testimony, moved out with that impression of the Holy Spirit that they were supposed to reach. And I loved what she said about why, when I was in sin and when I was in adultery, did someone not stop at a gas station and minister to me? And that's where I want to stir up in us as a church. First off, yes, the fruit of the Spirit, that we begin to have such a love for people and such a love for the lost and such a love for the hurting that it gives us that desire to begin to pray, God, give us the gifts of the Spirit so we can minister to them effectively, because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it with our own human knowledge. We need His gifts. I mean, she was at the right place at the right time with the exact right testimony to have that divine appointment. And how many divine appointments do we miss because we're just busy? And God's wanting us to just begin to step out of our comfort zones. And again, you might say, okay, well, why are you preaching this message to us today? It's because I believe we heard God's voice and we're speaking it. I believe you're pregnant with the gifts, church. I believe you're pregnant and you already desire the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe God's saying today is the day, and he is going to begin to release in greater ways. He's going to increase the gifts of the Spirit in greater ways than you have ever experienced. So let's stand with us as we're going to spend a little bit of time in worship and prayer, but I want us to just release the power of God on your lives, because you were each chosen by God and you have gifts in you. And we just touched on some of them. I mean, we talked about the 9 gifts and prayer and testimony. That's it. Do you know there are thousands of gifts? There are thousands of ways that God will uniquely use you to touch the kingdom of God. You don't have to say, I can't do the Great Commission, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. In fact, we are more and more getting into a day where pastors do not have credibility. They're looking for leaders in the marketplace that they trust in, that have a word from God, and that can be almost more effective, because we're in a culture where the church is actually looked down on. So you carry the Holy Spirit, the whole Holy Spirit. And not just the adults. You know, begin to train your children in these things. Begin to train your children. You know, we sometimes teach children not to have the gifts. I was challenged one time by a woman who told me that, you know, your kids come in your room afraid because they saw something. And what do we immediately say? Oh, no, 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 you didn't see anything. There's nothing there. She says, you're basically discipling the gift of discernment right out of them. Instead, when they come and they say they see this in the room, you tell them how to take authority over it in Jesus' name and command it to get out of their room. We need to begin to train our children in the senses. Now, Curtis goes haywire about that. Our kids would probably tell you totally wacky stories. He'll be like, you have to pray in tongues for 15 minutes down to the stop sign at the school. And then we're all listening to what God tells us. We would go on vacations and he'd say, sometime on this vacation, you have to minister to somebody in the Spirit. So be looking for those opportunities. And they had to do it. And it's amazing what God's done in my children and through them. Because guess what? My kids didn't get a junior Holy Spirit. They got the same big, huge Holy Spirit that we got. And we somehow think we got a little Holy Spirit. And we think, oh, well, Fred got a big one. Wow, watch him. Ron, oh my goodness, Ron has a big one. And we think, oh, I just got a little one. No, guys, we all got the Holy Spirit, the big one, the powerful one, the one who has all the gifts, the one whose heart wants to touch the lost, and the one who's given us a toolbox. And he's saying, please open it and use it. So let's take some time to just cry out to the Lord and tell him, God, we're here. We are here, and we want you. We want your gifts. We want your presence. We want your power. We don't want to be that we just talk about things and say we believe in it. We want to see it. We want to do it. We want to walk in it. We want God to stir it in us.
And Lord Jesus, we just pray right now, even as Paul said to Timothy, to stir up the gift that is within them through the laying on of hands. So Lord God, we just pray right now that every one of those gifts that you have placed within, that you have spoken over, and Lord God, sometimes maybe prophesied, or even as the Word of God says, more sure word of prophecy, the written Word of God. Lord God, you said, lay hands on sick. You said, cast out devils. You said, speak in new tongues. Lord God, we pray right now that those gifts of the Spirit sharing their testimony would just start rising up. Every gift of the Spirit, we just say right now, rise up, stir it up. We just fan it into flames. Let it blaze within each one. Just raise up your hands and say, God, give me more, give me more, give me more. I want those gifts. Show me how to use them in the skill and discernment right now. Lord God, I just pray now, stir up those gifts. Pray a release of those gifts. Let the fire of God from those gifts stir up within each one right now in the name of Jesus.
If you'd like prayer and want someone to lay hands on you to just pray release of this, just come forward. If you have to go, we know we went long, go ahead and kind of quietly go out the back, and we're going to actually worship to this song, and we're going to cry out for God to just give us more of his presence, more of his power, more of his glory, so that we can be more effective in the gospel. So come forward if you like prayer, and have a wonderful week.
we wait for you. To walk in the room, we wait for you. Holy Spirit, come. We wait for you. Oh, we need your mercy, Lord. We wait for you. To walk in the room. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Glory come down, Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. We wait for you. We wait for you. We wait for you. To walk in the room. We wait for you. Come down. Given us joy.